I want to say a couple things. Being Independence weekend or 4th of July weekend, the United States of America and the freedom we have, I wrote just a couple of words that I'd like to say about it. It's worth it. It's worth living for. It's worth fighting for. And it's still worth dying for. Our country is the freest place on the planet. It's the only place on the planet where other people are still trying to get here just for the hope of a better life. Nobody is trying to escape the United States of America trying to get a better life. But there are millions upon millions of people just trying to get onto one of our shores so they can have the hope, not a guarantee, a hope of a better life. You've been born and raised here. Don't take it for granted. Amen? Don't take it for granted. What an awesome opportunity it is to live in a great country. This message is probably not for everyone. I wished it was. I wish the whole church would catch this message today and it would put a new wind in your sails. It would send you into a different life. That's hopeful. My real desire is, I hope it's one. I hope one comes out of this and we see it and experience it and know it. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Last Sunday was a strange experience. My wife done something that she normally doesn't do. She literally said, "What is the message?" That could have been Wednesday. I'm not sure. It was either Sunday or Wednesday. But she said, "What's the message?" And she knows the company answer. Show up and see. Show up to church. I can't divulge the top secret information this early. I'm weird about that. I don't know what it is. Sometimes if it's just overspilling, I'll give her a point or two. And she always receives it the same way I see it. But anyway, but she didn't ask this weekend. She didn't ask today. And thank God she didn't, because in preaching this message, I'm begging the enemy to camp out at our house, to live in our house, and to cause havoc in our life. I used to think this all the time. I thought, man, if I preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I'm sending an invitation to the devil to come to my house and wreak havoc in my life. That's true. But Paul showed me something else in his letter. If you spurn people to share the gospel because they are a part of the resurrection, you will double that. I didn't know it. For the last 4 or 5 months, God has placed a burden on my heart to spurn you to share the gospel to this community. To get our view, our focus off the inside of this building and see souls in your lives that need Jesus. To have a burden for them, to pray for them, then to share your testimony, then share the gospel with them, then love them like crazy until they come in. That's what I've been doing. And I didn't know in that I was inviting the enemy to come and wreak havoc in my life. And for some reason, God's all right with that. Because when the enemy is wreaking havoc in my life, he's exposing me and you to things that God wants you to be better at. The devil's sometimes just an agitator to bring things out that need to be cleaned by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of y'all keep wondering why the enemy keeps attacking in certain areas of your life. God allows it, and you're sitting there going, "God, get him away from me." God's saying, "No, I want you to get stronger than that area. Learn how to pray through it, walk through it, and actually that become a strength instead of a weakness." Let me lay this challenge down before we go any further. God doesn't want you to be the same Christian next year as the same as you are this year. He don't. He wants you to be stronger, better. He wants you to grow more. He wants you to take your weaknesses and make them your strength. And then he wants to take your strength and he wants to use that to a greater ability. He don't want you just to be saved. He don't want you just to be saved and floating down the lazy river of Christianity. Matter of fact, there is no such thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We don't lose heart. How many of you have almost lost heart in walking for Jesus? You can be honest. How many of you have almost lost heart? Matter of fact, can I ask you a question? Have you ever been to a situation in your life where you just don't know where it's at anymore? That zeal, that excitement, that fire, that desire. I wish we could be really honest right now because I know how Sunday morning is. It's super spiritual. Brother, I never lose my fire and desire. I never, every time I open that book, God just blows me away every time. There's been days, months, and even month upon month that I read in spite of not hearing from God. There's been months upon months that I worship God despite of feeling God. Amen? He's saying you got the ministry of mercy in your life. I wish I had all day to preach this. I do not. I got about 40, 45 minutes and I'll lose three quarters of you. That's what they say. If you'll read chapter 3, what they're comparing us to this ministry is Moses came down with tablets that God had wrote on. Did you know that? I would give you all a very good illustration of Jesus and Moses. Moses came down one mountain holding two tablets out like this, presenting himself as a go-between between God and man, and he gave him the rules. Amen? Ain't that cool? But then there one came Jesus, who was God in flesh, who wasn't carrying the commandments. He was carrying them upon his life or his soul and was stretched out on another mountain where we could go between God and him. When you start reading the Bible and seeing all the comparisons and all the types and shadows and all the things that are pointing towards Jesus and Calvary, you could totally understand that God is loving you before you ever thought about loving Him. He's saying you receive this amazing, glorious message. You know, when Moses came down, when he came down, and he was speaking to the people. He had been in the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights. You know what it said about his face? It shined. It got so bright that you know what the people wanted him to do? Cover that face. Cover that glory. Cover that light up. Boy, I'll tell you right now, I think we're still doing that. But do you know that the law was not as bright and as glorious and holy and amazing as the gospel? Moses brought the law down. Jesus crushed the law at Calvary so we could enter in. It's a greater ministry. There's more glory in it. Verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in all sight of God. Do y'all get that? Does everybody understand that? We'll just move on. Well, you're doing better than me sometimes then. Let me give you 2 points right here at the very beginning of this. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty and not walking in craftiness. We're no longer walking in dishonesty and craftiness. We're no longer trying to get the Bible to add up with our sinful, lustful lives. You want me to say it again real slow? We're no longer trying to get the Bible to somehow say what we want to do in our sin life, to kind of make sense and get God on board with what we want. We're not operating that way. From now on, when we're born again, full of the Holy Spirit, walking and living for God, this is what we say. I'm right or I'm wrong. And there ain't no in between. If you don't like this kind of preaching, you would hate 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians. You'd hate it all. Paul said, preachers, don't take the Word of God and craft it and mold it and make it to get your personal preferences out there either. Don't try to take the Word of God and shoehorn people into things that you like. Amen? You know what we're supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be living in such a way by the leadership of this book and the Holy Spirit that we are a bearing down of conscience on everybody else. And if you don't know what I'm saying, when I was lost, I met some Christians. When I was lost, I ran into some believers. And their activities, their words, their love, their organization of how they've done things, their compassion, their caring, their forgiveness made my heart want what they had. Made my conscience go, that's a better way. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take this word and rightly divide it, live by it. We're not supposed to craft it, mold it, or make it what it isn't, to say what we want it to say, what we want it to say for us or anybody else. We're supposed to live by it. Whew. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You know what a better word is that right there than hid? Veiled. If it be veiled, that's the better word right there. If it be hid, what it meant is the same as Moses. When we come out of chapter 3, he's still talking about the ministry of Moses and the law and the gospel. He's saying this ministry, if you cover it up and you try to hide it from the world, let me explain it the way I say it. If you try to walk in this world like the rest of the world and hide the gospel from them and then complain on Sunday morning and Sunday night or Wednesday that the world is going to hell and there is no hope for it, it's because you have veiled it in the presence of the people who have needed it the most. Amen? If you hide the gospel, if you're saved and born again, if you hide the gospel, you're hiding it from the people who need it the most. You're putting it over you. You're covering it up. And you're living in such a way that nobody would ever get saved. But for somehow, we're always trying to think that somehow people are just going to live around us and all of a sudden just by osmosis or something, just join up with us and maybe end up at our church. I really, being honest, you probably might want to start praying in a different direction of like, dear Lord, please take Kevin and put him somewhere else. We don't like him here anymore. It's fine. I make some weird prayers too. Because I really don't care if anybody shows up at this church compared to them getting saved. I don't. I tell people all the time, I really don't care if you come to my church. It's not my church anyway, but I would that you be saved. And if you get saved, then we do have a great church. But you can go anywhere you want to. That's the point. You can go anywhere you want to as long as you get saved. But if we hide this gospel, we are hiding it to them that are lost. And we don't even get the chance to say, well, they don't really need it, or they don't want to hear it, or they'll think I'm judging, or they'll get mad, or they'll get upset. Stop with your excuses. You're lying to yourself. If you're saved and born again, if you're not, this don't make sense to you. But if you're saved, this makes sense. You never get saved on the first planting or watering. Most don't. Nobody receives the gospel with great joy. Some of y'all are so spiritual. Oh, when I first heard Jesus, I just knew. Listen, when I first heard the gospel, it made me mad. You know why? Because it made me out to be a sinner. And I was trying to compare myself to everybody else and say, wait a minute, I'm good enough, this or that. And God said, no, compared to my righteousness, you are unrighteous and unholy and unfit for the kingdom of God. So I was mad when I first heard the gospel. I had somebody bold enough to say, Kevin, if you keep living this way, you are going to die and end up in eternity separated from God in a place called hell. And I'm like, man, I don't like you. That's all you want to do is wear me out with that truth. But it's amazing. Here I am now, standing up here in this crazy outfit, talking to you about that same Jesus. The message that I hated, but it had truth in it. Amen? And when it's got the truth in it, it works on you. Amen? How many of you have wrestled with Jesus? Is there anybody in here got saved when you got older? Praise God, and God just wrestled you down. God, I wish we had some real people in here every once in a while. I'd go, praise God, I was 50, I was 60, I was almost 70, and praise God, God wrestled me in. Swore I'd never go to church with a bunch of hypocrites. Praise God, I'd rather go to church with some hypocrites than spend eternity with them. I ain't going to spend eternity with them. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world, let's go back and read verse 3 and 4 together. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Praise God. I'm telling you right now, this is how God works. You tell them about Jesus, and even though their mind is so warped and convoluted with the world of this world and the God of this world, which is Satan, and I mean, they're just sitting in total darkness, and all of a sudden, just a ray of light. Phew. When you drop the gospel, when you give them Jesus, it's like a. Have you ever been sitting in the dark, dark place and seen one little light, and you're like, oh, there's a light right there. Can't hide that. That's what it's like when Jesus shows up in your dark life. Amen? It could just be a pinprick at first, but you're like, wait a minute. I don't know if that's what I want, but I do know one thing. It's not completely dark in here. Amen? It's not completely miserable with that in here. Amen? So no matter, listen, you might want to write this down for when your weirdness shows up, when you show up, when your pride shows up, when your arrogance shows up and says, you don't need to share the, you don't need to wear them, you don't need, that person right there is not the kind of person you need to be talking to. That's not the, if God burdens your heart and tells you to share the gospel, I don't care if this person is 100% opposite of you. Matter of fact, can I give you all this real quick while we're still here, while we're right here on this place right here? 2 Corinthians was wrote by a man named Paul. Do you know who Paul was? He was Saul. Do you know who Saul was? He was a Christian-killing Jewish man. A Christian. If anybody, one day he was climbing the ladder of religion. He was going to be a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He was going to sit in important places. He was going to be walking through the market and people were going to say, oh, look, master. Oh, look, the teacher. When he walked, when he would pray, people would go, oh, man, listen to him speak. And you know what happened to him? He encountered Jesus Christ. And you know what happened to him? He went from climbing ladders to going all the way to the bottom of the ladder and helping people get on to the first rung. God, I wish y'all would let me preach in here on that right there alone. When you really get saved and born again, you won't want to get up at the top of the ladder. You won't want to be up there at the top getting all the glory and honor. You'll be wanting to be down there at the bottom of the ladder going, here's the first rung. Well, it's dark down here. I can't really see the ladder. I don't see where it's going. It's going up. It's going out of this darkness. Somebody might even ask you, why are you here? Because God got me out of my darkness. So it's okay if I crawl into yours, right? Let me get your foot. You know what happens if you're going to get somebody's foot? You're going to have to get lower than them. You get down there and get their foot and put them on that first rung. That first rung's Jesus. That first rung's salvation. And you know what you tell them? Don't stop climbing until you're done. Don't start climbing. Don't stop climbing until you reach the light. And then keep climbing. Well, I don't think I can climb out of this. Don't worry, listen. Jesus will help you climb on the rungs that you can't make yourself. I'm about to preach somebody happy in here. It'll take some of you a miracle for that. God will give you the strength to climb on some rungs of life. Is there anybody in here who God started climbing for you? But you know what else he'll do? He'll make your feet like hinds' feet, he says. There'll be some obstacles that you come up to in life that you'll be saying, God, I don't even know if you can carry me through this. He goes, oh, no, I'm not going to carry you right here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to make you be able to climb out of it. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to give you the ability to climb out of it. And when you get to the top of this mountain, when you climb out of this thing that somebody said you'd never climb out of, you're going to stand at the top of that and somebody's going to go, my God, you're strong. Wow, how'd you do it? They're going to say, oh, no. God transformed my feet. He gave me a will to climb and the ability to do so. I would have never got out of that on my own if God hadn't have done a work at the very bottom of that climb. Amen? Some of y'all need to praise God right there. Some of y'all need to say, thank God that you found me and let me climb out of some messes I could have never got out of. And thank you, God, for letting me get out of some holes of life that I never would have got out of. Man, it's okay in the church. There ain't hardly as many people there are here normally. You can act up today. I won't tell nobody. I won't tell nobody that you shouted. I won't tell anybody that you wept. I won't tell anybody that you praised God. I won't tell anybody. I won't say they had a running fit. I won't tell anybody. Some of y'all act like, man, if I get out of control up there, this whole mountain will know. Man, it's about time the whole mountain knows you love Jesus. Man, praise God. I knew it's going to be a good message when I got up this morning. God's good. He's faithful. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Ain't that good? I ain't got nothing good to say about me. It's Jesus. I hate ministries and churches and things that promote themselves. Look it up. No, look at Jesus. Man, look at God. That's who you need to look to. Anybody can dress up. Some of the most messed up religions in this world dress up better than we do. It don't matter how good you look on the outside. It's the heart of the man on the inside. Boy, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. You better learn how to suffer. That's all I'm going to tell you. If you're going to be a Christian, one of the greatest things you can do as a Christian is learn how to suffer. Because the more you suffer, the more they see Jesus. Amen? We're quite the opposite. If we're not winning, we're mad. We need to get to the point where we're like, hey, if we ain't suffering, something's wrong. Amen? For God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. This is good right here. Watch this. For God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Ain't that good? Do y'all know what that means? Somebody said it in one of the songs. Do you know what God did one day? God looked out into the universe and said this. He said, let there be light. Do you know what happened right there? The whole universe was created. That's where scientists and all the people of the world today, they say the Big Bang Theory. There was no Big Bang Theory. That was God who stood up. He is the creator of everything. He just stood up and looked out into the universe and said, let there be light. That was before there was a sun, moon, or stars. Man, if y'all ever get excited about stuff like that, I don't know how some of y'all do some milquetoast stuff in here. I just don't know. I mean, praise God. One day in heaven, God is going to be your son, which if you fired ever nuclear bomb on the face of this earth into the sun, it wouldn't even bother it. One day, Jesus is going to be the Son of Heaven. He will be the only light source that we need. When God said, let there be light, He created every light in the universe. One day, we're going to be in heaven going, man, it's bright up here. This is some bright stuff. God said, that's me. That's me. But you know what that also is? If you don't know this already, I would like to see somebody cut a lap right here. Do y'all remember when he shined up in your life? It was the same experience. If it wouldn't, get saved. If it wouldn't, run up here. You got shorted. You got a dose of Christianity. You ain't got the real thing. That's why I ain't never going back. That's why there ain't no sin, there ain't no life, there ain't no fame, there ain't no fortune, there ain't nothing out there that I want more than God, because one day He spoke life into my life. And He illuminated me. He shined up in my life, and all of a sudden I'm like, my God, there's life here now where there all was death. Some of y'all right now, you're still looking for life in the death. Some of y'all still standing at the death table trying to find life at it, trying to eat everything at the death table, and there ain't no life in it. God says there's only two tables, one of death, one of life. Then he gets Charlie, it's, I mean, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but the Bible will tell you this. There's two tables, life and death. And then it gets even simpler. He says, choose life. I mean, goodness gracious, you ain't got to be a, he didn't, he'd only give you a test with two choices. He gave you the answer. Some of y'all sitting in here right now, you're wondering why you're so empty. Why the church don't mean nothing to you. Songs don't mean nothing to you. Preaching don't mean nothing to you. Everybody's excited. Everybody's full of joy. Some people are worshiping and praising God. And you're sitting here right now going, what's the big deal? Ask God to turn the light on in your life. To let you see what we're seeing. Experience what we're experiencing. We were dead. Now we're alive. We were once headed to hell. We're headed to heaven because He loved us. My gosh, I was sitting in the darkest sins of my life. On my worst day. I just turned the light on, man. Let there be light in His life. If you know Jesus, you know this. Some of y'all are too cool for school. You do that kind of thing. You walk around. You got Jesus. You're saved as you can be. But you're still trying to fit in with everybody else. Praise God. Let your light shine. Turn your Christianity all the way up. Turn it all the way up on full volume and let people deal with it. Amen? Well, I ain't going to have many friends. They ain't your friend anyway. They don't care about you anyway. Just let your Jesus pour out all over them. Praise God. Maybe they'll get saved and then they will be a good friend of yours. I like this stuff. Verse 7, but we have this treasure. Good Lord. I'm going to lose my mind in this. This thing, it's like a fireworks show, ain't it? There's just one good one after another one. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Have you ever felt that way? Ain't that good? You're walking around, you don't know how God crammed all His glory in this dirt box, right? I mean, we're just walking dirt. That's all we are. We came from the dirt, we'll return to dirt. And God hid Himself in us. Praise God. We should be the most unbearable people there are. I'm serious. Some of y'all get mad about that. Well, we should be. We should be overjoyed. We should be happy. We should be content. People should say, man, you need to calm down with all that happiness. I can't help it. I got a treasure trapped up in here. Man, just in a minute, I could have an aneurysm and I could be in glory. Hallelujah. I mean, just in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, I could be in glory right now in a minute. I mean, some of y'all sitting here going, I don't want, man, I'll do this, whatever, to make it live. Praise God! In a heartbeat, you could be in glory. Man, I'm going to be honest with you. It's about 50-50 now. I've got just as many up there as I do down here. Boy, praise God, I'm going to run a lap in heaven. If you can't stand me here, don't live anywhere in my neighborhood. Ask God right now to start a construction zone somewhere else on the east side of glory. Get out of my neighborhood because I am going to be unbearable. Because God, I don't belong here. I don't belong here. I don't belong saved. I don't belong up here on this stage. I don't belong with a microphone. I still can't get over the fact He saved me. It's a big deal. Why in the world does He care about anybody like us? Then He puts He puts God in us and lets us have it. Verse 8 gets good. Paul, have you ever heard this? I hear this stuff all the time. I don't even know what it means, but I hear it. He spoke His truth. She spoke her truth. You ever heard that? Paul just does this for us right here. He goes, He speaks His truth. He says, here's what it looks like when you go from serving yourself to serving Jesus. And it's good. Some of y'all need to hear this because it ain't always easy walking for Jesus, but it's always worth it. Y'all ready? Watch what Paul does right here. But we have this treasure. Now it's verse 7. Verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Golly. He said we got pressure on every side, but we ain't coming apart. Good God. Have you... Anybody? Anybody? My God, that's gold. Man, I've had pressure. You're like, we're gonna fall apart. We're being pressured on every side. He said, yeah, but we ain't coming apart. Man, people are waiting for it. Man, they're just waiting. They're just watching. He gonna cuss a blue streak right here. They're going to get a divorce right here. Watch them. Here they go. Yeah, they're going to give up. They're not going to go to church. They ain't going to come back. Not after that. They ain't going to come back after that. No way, no how. Amen? They ain't going to read the Bible now. They ain't going to pray now. They ain't going to serve now. No way, man. Not with that kind of pressure. Man, your life should have fell apart, but it never fell apart. Anybody ever done that? God, I told God, I said, man, this is too much. God whispers back in His spirit, I'll let you know. I made you. I've designed you. You don't even know what your specs are. Golly. You don't even know what you're made of. I made you. I formed you. I designed you. Praise God, you just stay in there. Amen. Woo, glory. You just stay in there. We are troubled on every side, yet distressed. We are perplexed. I had to look that word up. Angry, bitter, confused. This was my favorite word in that little perplexed, because I'm this all the time. Baffled. Baffled. Man, you get yourself in some ministry. Get in ministry. Get in full-time ministry. I've been in full-time ministry since 2007. Some days you will sit back and go, baffled. Don't have a clue. Don't have a clue. Anxious, mad, worried. Golly, y'all so spiritual right now. Some of y'all going, I can't believe the preacher is worried. Yeah, okay. All right. But watch this right here. Watch this right here in this verse 8. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Whew. When it gets right down to it, when you think this is going to be the end of me, I'm going to lose my mind, I'm going to lose everything, I'm going under, God lists, he whispers in there and goes, no. No, here comes the joy. Hey, no, y'all don't know what I'm saying right there. Here comes the joy. Not happiness. Hey, here comes your joy. Here comes the joy in there. When you're perplexed, baffled, don't understand, confused, angry, all the other stuff, here comes joy. You'll be sitting there and people will think you are mad. When I say mad, I'm sorry, they'll think you are crazy. Laughing, praising God, hallelujah. Man, everything's gone wrong. You're anxious, you're bitter, you're angry, you're short, you're confused, you're baffled. Yeah, but God's in it. God's in it. He just showed me He's in it. Reminds me of Elijah over there. When Elijah got into a place, he went into the tunnel and he put the wrap around his face and he's sitting in there and God said he showed up and all of a sudden there was this big huge wind and it blew through there and he wasn't in that. Because sometimes you think God's going to be in the big stuff. And then there's a fire rolled through. And everybody knows God's in the fire. Right? I've been hearing this my whole life. The fire of God. You're fire. You got the fire of God. I'm like, yeah, I like the wind when he blows through, and I like the fire too. But what's greater than both of them? Then there came a still small voice. Whew. Man, I wish somebody, golly, bum. There's about two of you about to lose it. I don't know how you're holding on. They must be fingerprints inside your pews. I mean, you got the carpet or the linings worn out in them things. All of a sudden God just comes in and I don't need God to blow me up with a big wind. I don't need to have him burn me down with a Holy Ghost fire. Man, every once in a while I just need him to whisper in my ear and say, God, Kevin, I love you. I ain't never gonna give up on you. I'll be with you till the end. I love you. Keep going. I'm proud of you. Stand up, square your jaw, set your face like a flint, and let's go back to work. Amen? I don't need everybody to approve. I just need God every once in a while. That still small voice go, I'm with you. I'm with you till the end. Anybody know what I'm talking about right there? Praise God, you could have all the big stuff in the world. I just need my relationship with Jesus. I just need God to hold me up close tight and say, I'm with you, buddy. I'm here with you. Don't worry about it. If the whole world be against you, I'll be for you. If none will go with you, I'll go with you. If nobody else will preach with you, I'll preach with you. Praise God, I love you. Man, I love God. He's good, ain't he? Whew. Yet not distressed. Persecuted. Oh, here we go. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Hallelujah. I've been persecuted. You've been persecuted, but God ain't never left you. Amen. That's good. Cast down, but not destroyed. How many of you fail? I'm not talking about somebody knocked you down. How many of you have failed flat on your face as a Christian? Boy, I'm glad of that. He says, you've fallen, but you're not destroyed. Boy, Listen, some of y'all are so doggone good at this stuff. I want you out here. Let me give this word for you. There's going to be a day when your name ain't going to be nothing better than mud. You're going to feel like giving it in and cashing it out. You're going to feel like nothing's worth nothing. But God says at the bottom of that, I ain't destroyed you. Man, this whole world could hate you. You could fall flat on your face in front of the whole world. They can cancel you, write you off, and put you in the ground. But God will be right there going, here I am. Goodness gracious. I don't know why God has done this to me the last couple of weeks, but I've spent a little time going up to Brushy Mountain Prison, and every time I walk in through there and start thinking, I'm not some special person or nothing, but I walk in there and I think, everybody's like, man, this is a bad place. Man, this is some bad stuff. You know what I think? God, this is where I belonged. I should have been here. These are the kind of places I should have ended up. And I see a list of names of people who died in that prison. And I'm sitting there thinking, my God, I'm glad my name ain't on that list. It's on a whole nother list in glory. Ain't that amazing? God take us off a bad list to put us on a good list. That's been blowing me away. We were prisoners in our sin, and God broke us out. We were dying and on our way to hell. We could have been, Scott sung that song, you could have been driving the fanciest car, having a nice house. Man, those are the people who are kind of confusing. You see a drunk on a bicycle, they're easy to spot. Hey, man, I'll explain it to you after church if you need it. You'll say, man, that dude right there is messed up. He's trying to ride a bicycle and he's intoxicated. But you know what's hard to see? Is the man who drives by him in a brand new BMW coming from the restaurant at lunchtime, happy hour, driving right past him just as messed up as he is. But you'll look at the car and go, man, I wish I had that car. That guy's a blessed man. No, he's on the same path the other one is, just probably a little bit faster. Amen? That's how God is. He sees everybody's situation, and he can break you free of every prison you're in, whether it's a good prison or a non-good prison. Always, listen to this, verse 10. When? Always. Bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You know what it's saying? If you're dying, if it looks miserable and ugly and gruesome in your life, you're probably doing Christianity right. I'm serious. If you're miserable and other people are getting saved, probably doing it right. If people are talking about you, running you down, criticizing you, laughing at you, mocking you, but guess what? In that, other people are seeing Jesus, you're doing it right. If you're walking through this life and ain't nobody hates you, nobody criticizes, nobody makes fun of you, nobody hates on you, praise God, begin to worry because you are friends of the world and enemies with God. I'd rather this whole world hate me than God hate me. That's the way you need to look at it. Whew. Verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. If he died, we can die. If he suffered, we can suffer. Verse 12. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We struggle that you may get saved. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are not seen are temporal, but the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know what God's doing right here? He's setting us up for failure, guys. Me and Melissa, we got no hope this week. You got a little bit of hope. This whole message, get busy sharing the gospel, suffer for Jesus Christ because you're on your way to heaven. Simple message, ain't it? But praise God, if you do that right there, you know what you'll be sending out a message? Throughout the prince of the air of this world, the devil himself, you'll be sending him a message saying, I no longer want to just skirt by as a Christian going to Flat Top Church and just making three services a week and being done. I want to see souls saved and lives changed, and I want to suffer for that fact. And I don't care if I do suffer, because the more I suffer, the more I'll be like Christ. You say something like this to the enemy, there is nothing you can do to me that can stop me from getting into heaven. Period. So I'll live for Jesus. In the immortal words of Tombstone, I will be your huckleberry. Some of y'all need to get up with a mentality as a Christian and say, I'm sick and tired of being lukewarm. I'm sick and tired of just telling people I'm a Christian. I want somebody to come up to me and say, I believe you are a believer in Jesus Christ. By the way you act, you are like a little Jesus. As y'all stand, as Scott comes...